This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 635, recorded in the future. I am Brian Kilby. With me this week, no Don. Is it 2 weeks in a row with no Don?
Yeah.
Bummer, Don. We miss you. No Jason either. Jason is, I was going to say DOA because I was confusing my initialisms.
He's at a Transformers parade, isn't he?
He is, MIA. Jason is MIA.
But or AWOL.
AWOL, yeah, that's true. That's a good one. It's Diecast and Chris. Matt's here. Rob's here. John's here. No, Rodimus Supreme. Jason's not dead. I'm just stupid. So, we're talking about eating food, which it either turns into
Star Wars. We spend the whole pre-show talking about eating?
Pre-show is all about eating. It's half the time it's about Star Trek. Yeah, mostly food. Happy to say I'm wearing my RFC 15th anniversary t-shirt, which is 5 years old at this point. But I can fit into it now because of I'm eating basically mostly meat. It's pretty awesome. My brother.
My body doesn't like it when I eat mostly meat.
My brother, he's nearly 60 years old. He's 20 years older than I am. He works out every day, which I'm basically doing that. And he cut out most of his carbs and he is jacked. For a 60-year-old dude, he looks amazing. And I thought, we have similar genetics, and I'm 20 years younger than you. If you can do that, I can do that. So, by God, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not completely wrong.
No, Ryan, the t-shirt didn't stretch. I literally couldn't wear it the last time I tried to wear it, which was like 2 years ago. But thanks for playing. So, I'm talking to we're engaging with the chat here during pre-show, and now the show started. tfradio.net/live. The chat doesn't work there, but you can watch us live. What you really need to do is subscribe to us on YouTube and do that. So, you know, just look for Radio Free Cybertron on YouTube and you got it. And Jared is asking if Jason's okay. Yes, Jason is okay. He's just busy with work and, you know, finding time for his family.
Yeah, multiple jobs.
Fortunately, not multiple families, though, as far as we're aware.
How do we know?
I know, that right? Family knows. Could have multiple families. Oh, God. Okay, cool. So, let's see here. What do we got this week? Hey, just a reminder, our Roku channel updated. Just go to your Roku and search for Radio Free Cybertron in the channel store, or go to tfradio.net/Roku, then log in with your Roku account and add it, and you have it. You know, Roku numbers are looking really good, so thank you very much. Hopefully you're watching it on Roku. If you're not watching live, tfradio.net/Roku. Cool. So, what else we got going? We're a couple months away still from New York Comic Con. We had that surprise convention last week, or the event in Mexico, the unboxing
convention. Yeah.
So yeah, nothing major event wise is coming up. I mean, other than here in 2 months, almost from today, we're gonna have our 20th anniversary episode.
Fan Expo in Canada last year had some Studio Series reveals. They may not do Studio Series stuff since the Mexican convention or event had them, but we might see something out of that when that happens in a week or so, I think.
Cool. Yeah. So
we might see some Studio Series, because did we see the rest of the parts of Devastator yet?
I mean, we saw great prototypes of all of them at one point. Like a year ago, I think. As far as like color test shots or samples, I don't think we've seen like the new leader class ones.
So can I just get into what I got this week? Because that ties into it.
Yes, go ahead and do that. But as a reminder, before you do, because people are talking over me, and I'm talking over you, we have our 20th anniversary episode in 2 months. Middle of October. 20 years. I hardly ever plug it. 20 years. TFRadio.net. Just go back. Go to our archives. Go back nearly 20 years. Okay, Diecast, you may speak now.
So surprisingly to me, I got one of those Hasbro Pulse packages today, and I got a Constructicon Hightower, which I think he was spotted in store in the U.S., but Hasbro Pulse got this super quick to be able to get it out to me. And I also
got... Aren't they across the street from you?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I also got the Drift that turns into a helicopter, which is in that wave. And the third figure in that wave is... Oh, Dropkick. Blue Dropkick.
Dropkick at the car.
Yeah, I don't know why I got this figure, but I did.
You love Bumblebee so much.
I was probably got it hoping it'd be better than Shatter and better than Helicopter Dropkick, which, to be entirely fair, is not a huge leap to make.
Oh, I forgot. There's a separate one.
Yeah. Huh.
And then at Target, I got Long Haul, which...
Oh, okay.
So I have basically every Constructicon except the ones they didn't announce, or they haven't shown us final prototypes of.
Do you have all the ones that have been released so far, I think is what you're trying to say?
Do we know for sure that they actually merged? Like, have we seen it? We've seen like the...
Yeah, that was the first thing we saw. The first time they had it, which was at an event in either London or in France somewhere.
They showed renders.
No, they had the prototype.
Oh, I... Shows how much I care about Studio Series.
It was also last year, so you kind of have an excuse to forget. Okay. But yes, I agree. Yeah,
I think it was in like October we saw that. I think it was around TFCon Chicago time.
I hate Revenge of the Fallen Devastator so much.
I love him.
It's so ugly.
I admire that Hasbro is trying to do this. I also don't care remotely, but I'm also happy that this is taking up most of Studio Series, so I don't have to pay any attention to it.
So, yeah, because we're only two away, right? We have four of them so far.
I believe there's seven, but yeah.
Okay, so
I think we're absent of Voyager and 2 liters.
Okay, all right. So I get a little confused with the numbers on that Devastator, to be honest.
I mean, that's not hard to do because the movie was itself kind of confused about the numbers of that Devastator. Hightower wasn't even actually in the movie, for one thing.
Hmm. And then from Amazon today, I got Thundercracker.
Oh, cool. Welcome to last week.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And that, well, that was because I was like, where'd you get that? Because Hasbro Pulse said like 10-1 for the release date.
Uh-huh.
So I went on Amazon and ordered it from Amazon and canceled my Hasbro Pulse. Because like I said, it's really strange. Like this wave of Studio Series, they were right on top of. They got it right away. And then, you know, the generation stuff, it's like, oh, Amazon gets it 3 months before it's supposed to be out. I don't get it. And then the last thing I got was the Rainmakers.
Is that from Dawn?
No. No, I got it. Thanks. Dustbuster on Twitter lives in my area. He's a friend of mine, and he told me that some of the stores got him in, and I happened to be off that day because it was Thursday. It was the day after the show, and I was just about to head down the shore, and I was like, yeah, I'll stop at Target to see if I can pick one up, and I did. And the guy brought it out of the box, out of the back, and it's a box of two. He's like, do you want both? And I'm like, no, I just want one. And he kind of looked at me like, really?
Yes, he's probably very used to people asking for them to bring a case out of the back and then walking away with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
Cool. I'm going to go next. So I spent way too much time and energy last week trying to find the damn reissue Soundwave and cassettes, even though I swore up and down when we learned that they're going to come out that I just didn't care, like, at all. Not at all. But I went to my Walmart, my local Walmart, in the course of like 3 days, like 11 times. And I got so pissed off because Brickseek basically said they were out of stock and they weren't on the shelf. This was after the reset. So I'm like, crap, somebody picked them up. So I went to another Walmart the next day because was it Neschalk on Twitter? Had mentioned that the Walmart page was up, the item page. So I was able to get the cassettes at that Walmart. So very happy with that purchase. Ooh. And then for whatever reason, I checked the availability again, and my Walmart got them in somehow after Brickseek said they were out of stock. So I got Soundwave.
Oh, I love the packaging, and I love how the cassettes are in their own individual package, because we haven't seen that since G1, right?
Yeah, so, you know, I don't need another Soundwave. I mean, I joke this is like my 11th. It's more like my 6th or 7th, but I just wanted it. But one thing I never noticed on the reissues, at least on this one, the little fake tech spec, not tech spec, the robot point, says authentic Transformers. It's a fake robot point
that says authentic
Transformers. So this was $49.97, and the cassettes were an absurd $20 each. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
$10 a cassette.
Though, like, the cassettes aren't particularly more complex than a mini vehicle, and those were selling for like $8 each.
Yeah, I don't get it. But hey,
yeah, I was kind of expecting 15 for that for those sets myself.
Yeah,
they do have the diecast metal in them, which contributes to the price. And well, that Ravage is still better than pretty much any Ravage we've had since G1.
Diecast adds value.
Yeah. Crunson in the chat is saying I need to go ahead.
Everything except this show.
Says I need to go ahead and send away for the Omnibots before it's too late. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Send away for the Omnibots TCG pack.
Yes. So I also got, went to get an Impossible Whopper and the Burger King kids meal. And I got the Cyberverse Optimus Prime. And it's below Cyberverse quality by a hair. But it's like right at, like, what is it, Evergreen or whatever, Authentics, that it's right with that pretty much. And it came in the meal, so it's worth that. So
how was the Impossible Patty?
So I've always wanted, so like a local restaurant, really nice restaurant down the road that I never go to because it's so busy. They have like the Impossible Patty. And what I've heard is that it's really good, you know, that it's really similar to beef. It's hard to judge with a Whopper because
that is itself not very similar to meat.
It's not very, I mean, I like them, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it's dissimilar to what you would normally expect with like ground beef. But it is shockingly similar to a Whopper. I mean, the consistency and everything is pretty damn close.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I got a shipment notification this week or late last week that something was on the way, and it was from Hasbro. Wasn't expecting this first thing. It was in the box. And of course I'm late, of course, because this is an SDCC exclusive. So I can welcome back a month ago, but it's the BotBots Con Crew set. I'm going to leave this in the box because the box is really nice. It's a nice little box set. It's gosh, how many figures is it? 10, something like 12.
Let's go with that. Yeah. Yeah. 10.
It's several. But this is going to be up for sale on Hasbro Pulse. And I actually bookmarked this so I could tell you. On September 3rd, if you're a Pulse Premium member, that's early access. If you're not, it's going to be September 4th. I would think.
Are they going to have more than the network had for the early access?
I hope so. But so it'll be September 3rd for Pulse Premium. Most people listening to this will not. So that'll be September 4th if you're not. But what I was expecting in the box, the heck is that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Is MP10G. Oh, and in the packaging, nice. It is so nice. I'm not taking it out. I mean, I was going to, but I love the packaging so much. I'm not going to use it as a proton pack, even though you can. But it just looks so good. It's beautiful.
It is.
And I wanted this so bad. Because Ghostbusters is basically my favorite movie ever. And I love Transformers. So you put the two together and I'm going to be happy. So this will be available also on Pulse on September 3rd if you're a Pulse Premium member. And the price on that's going to be $149.99 with a limit of one. And the BotBots Con Crew 10-pack is $34.99 with a limit of two. And they also have the TCG Blaster versus Soundwave box, $49.99, limited two, and the TCG Convention Pack for $15, limited two. So, yeah, that's thank you, Hasbro. I really appreciate that. I was not expecting that, so that really made my day. But what I'm going to
Captain Rufus wants to know how many MP10 versions you have now.
Not as many as you would think. It's got to be more than two.
You need the gold one now.
It's got to be more than two. I mean, I guess.
Do you have the gold chrome one that you're the rooster?
No.
Goat? Something? You're the something?
The Golden Lagoon one?
God, I may only have two.
Huh.
Not counting Black Convoy. Yeah. I really want MP 711. So.
Well, start saving.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, again, thank you, Hasbro. You're awesome. So thank you very much. So actually, one more thing I want to get on Hasbro Pulse, which is available on 829, is that 80th anniversary Vintage Hulk. I'm a sucker for that packaging, and I want that Hulk figure. And I thought I wasn't going to be able to get it, but it's pretty hefty. It's $35, and it's limited too. I'll pick that up. So
I also would like to have that. I am a sucker for that vintage packaging.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, I think that's all I have. Anybody else get anything? Chris?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I do have Thundercracker. And what I've found with Thundercracker is that when you put him side by side with Ion Storm, the Blue Rainmaker, Thundercracker obviously becomes this very almost turquoise shade, which cannot really represent correctly digitally, which is sort of annoying. But like the color between them is very, very similar, but just barely discernible as being different. I'm glad the Rainmakers were not individual releases, because having the possibility of having both of those on the shelf next to each other would just be kind of sad and ridiculous. Yeah,
that Blue Rainmaker really should have been like a grayish blue to be more accurate, but
I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of different ways they could have gone with that, or make it like more super saturated blue. But yeah, Thundercracker is pretty nice. The chest and the intakes are just flat gray plastic. There's no paint on them. I think it would have looked a little bit better with like silver paint, which, I mean, you could do that if you really wanted to. It might rub off a little bit around like the hip blocks because of the way it's put together. But I mean, at least there's some contrast in it. That's kind of nice after Rainmakers. The tolerances are good. All the parts move pretty comfortably. The null rays are a little bit looser than I would like, but that's been the case with more Seekers than not that I've handled. So I think that's just kind of a thing. The face variant that Thundercracker has, it's the upturned smirk, which just seems kind of over-exaggerated to me. It doesn't really look natural.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
So that kind of sucks, but, and you know, the interesting thing is with the box art, he's got like a deep frown, so it makes it look like either somebody painted the art wrong or the art's based on a prototype and they ended up sculpting the face backwards. But yeah, I mean, this is number 6 out of 7 that I'll have, 5 of which that I'll have in the course of 1 month. So that's getting a little ridiculous, and I don't think we've seen the last of that yet either. I mean, hopefully not before I get my Bright Orange Sunstorm at some point.
Yeah.
I better get my Bright Orange Sunstorm at some point.
Yeah.
I also got Cyberverse Spark Armor Skybite.
Oh, nice.
Well, you would think that, but no, not really. Because this is a Cyberverse toy. So the parts fittings are not very good. The tolerances don't entirely work. Like half the ball joints are too tight in one direction and too loose in the other. The shark mode won't really tab together because none of the parts actually want to fit where they go. And like the most bothersome thing to me, I discovered there's no neck joint. The head's just fixed forward.
Oh,
I mean, sounds stupid, but it really hinders posability when you can't turn the head.
Even this Burger King kids meal toy has a neck joint.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I think the saddest thing of all, though, you know, this comes with the little drill tank thing to take apart and put on his armor. So the drill has a peg on it to be handheld. That's how it works for the armor up mode. The peg doesn't fit in the hand. It's too big.
What?
It may be like mold flash or something that's making it not quite want to go into the hand hole, but it won't. And it's really kind of a missed opportunity anyway that they did not design that with like slots or an end peg to put the drill into the shark tail arm, because that seems like it'd be perfect, especially since this does spin, albeit not very freely. The thing is, though, as it is, that's the only place I can put it, because it will wedge just into the open end of that claw. And that's the only way I can have it on the toy, because it won't fit in the hand hole where it's supposed to go.
So Sean asked if it came with a haiku. And I said you have to go to writeahaiku.com and provide it yourself. But that website is excellent.
Anyway, if anybody's curious about comparative size of these, I happen to have Gas Skunk from Robots in Disguise, which seemed like a really appropriate thing to use for point of comparison. And it's a little shorter than the Beast Wars Basic. It's here for slightly more contemporary comparison. I've got Legends Thundercracker from one iteration of Generations or another, and it's like slightly bigger than that. So it's like a big Legends, but it's not as good as a Legends.
Blade Raider saying that the drill can be a glove for the right hand. It's an odd fit, though.
Okay, I'll try that later. The drill tank's over there because I didn't feel like armoring this up. I like the look of the Shark Mode. I wish it came together better. Like that part of it is not too bad. The engineering, if it worked right, would be pretty cool for a toy this size. But like with the parts fit and everything being what it is, it's just kind of a disappointing experience. I got it off of Hasbro's eBay store.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I got it for retail and free shipping because it met their free shipping threshold. But yeah, it certainly is not the greatest shark around. He fails the fish test.
Sad.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that'll do it for this week. Check back next week.
So tomorrow I should have Skywarp.
Yeah, me too.
And
tomorrow or Friday maybe.
Yeah, and that battle pack. So
I'm probably going to get pushed back on that one. I have not gotten a shipping notice yet. So
I haven't got a shipping notice, but it's in my informed delivery dashboard that's underway already, which happens a lot.
Yeah, I got the notification. I haven't checked my informed delivery. Actually, it probably won't be informed delivery for me since it's probably being delivered by Amazon itself.
Ah, yes.
So cool. Anybody else, Matt?
Yes. I also got the reissue Soundwave and all of his cassettes. They're up behind me on the shelf back there, though. I think it's G1 Soundwave and his cassettes.
I haven't even noticed. Does it have a retooled drawer or cassette?
Well, Rob, you should mention that because we had a conversation about that after the show last week.
Yeah. Rob, Chris, and I talked about that after the show last week, and Rob pointed out some stuff where, yes, it does have some remolded Sound Blaster parts still.
Ah,
yeah.
I thought they'd gone in and retooled it to undo the Sound Blaster stuff.
Like what was it you had noticed, Rob? Was it the buttons?
Hinges. The hinges are visible down by the sides of the buttons, and also the buttons themselves do not come to as much of a point, which which are two changes that were made for the Sound Blaster version of the mold, and as far as I can tell were, you know, permanent when they were done back in 1987.
So what they've done this time is they took Sound Blaster and remolded it to have a flat chest door. And colored it blue, of course.
Yes. So but really nice, really well done. All the, you know, all the joints on everything are great. You know, the die cast metal on the tapes is always a welcome. And I also got Thundercracker, and I immediately switched the head with Starscream, and that just seems to work much better for both of them. Mm. And the whole reason I broke down and bought that mold to begin with, I got my Rainmakers. Awesome. In the mail today
from Dawn.
And Dawn was, you know, a gentleman about it and did not charge me any shipping because he felt really bad about how long it's taken me to get the Voltron Lions.
Did you get him?
No.
Wow.
No. Due to his lack of not mailing me the Voltron Lions, he gave me free shipping and then still did not mail me the Voltron Lions. But that's okay. Love you, Dawn.
Wow.
Love you, Dawn.
Awesome.
Chris posted the other day that Amazon had Reflector back in stock for actual retail price, not marked up this time. So I got Reflector. He came in the mail today.
Nice.
Very nice. I was actually surprised because I don't have a lot of deluxes from Siege. So I was kind of surprised at how small the individual reflectors are.
They're tiny.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know,
accessories, though.
Yeah. And immediately after I ordered them off Amazon, you know, my Walmart finally stocked Wave 3.
Of course.
That's what I did.
So
yeah, but there's only two reflectors in a case. Yeah, so
I did not buy any reflectors there, but I did pick up a spare Brunt. So I have one for Trypticon and one to dismember.
Oh, nice.
And since I bought so many toys, I also bought new shelves on which to put them. And now I just have to find a place to put them up because I'm kind of out of room.
Perhaps you could buy bigger shelves to put your existing shelves on. And then by doing so, have room on your walls for more shelves.
Wow.
I shall have to look into that.
Shelfception.
And now I'm done.
Cool. Okay. Let's see here. Anybody else? Anybody else going once? Rob?
Yeah, I got one thing. I got kindness of
the Cybernet Space Cube.
That too, but also through the kindness of Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast, I have a Transformers trading card game Siege booster box to do an opening video for, which I will probably get to work on for T-Formers in the next couple of days. So
nice.
Yeah, so thanks very much to them. I'm looking forward to seeing what's in there.
Cool. Awesome. Diecast, you get that? You've been getting stuff from TCG, right?
Yeah, I got the Siege box a couple, like,
it was a while back, I want to say.
Yeah, remember, because I thought it was going to be...
Oh, that's right, you thought it was the MP10G. Yeah.
I thought it was the MP10G, and then I was like, that's Siege Boosters. But I love the Siege. I love the game. I love the Transformers trading card game. I wish I could play it more, but yeah.
You should take it to work and play it with your coworkers.
Yeah, yeah, that would work.
I would do that, but I'm my coworker.
Oh. Yeah. Or, you know, it could also be a positive thing, depending.
Yeah, true.
But you liked your coworkers in general.
I did, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the Unicron Watch diecast.
It's time.
Tell us first, how many Unicrons have we added roughly since last week when of recording time?
Oh, last week roughly what, 120?
200. About 226.
Okay. So, yeah, we're a little off from, you know, what we think we need to get Unicron made.
You mean 8,000?
Huh. Yeah. Well, 8,000, but I mean, there's speculation that the other channels are going to help out, but we don't know if those other channels are added in yet or not, or how much those other channels have actually produced so far.
We also know other channels are still opening up because our friend Kiwi Paul on Twitter just said within the last week that pre-orders opened up somehow in New Zealand.
Yeah, EB Games.
Yeah, New Zealand and Australia. EB Games is now offering it for the same price.
So ignoring a last minute bump because, from people who just want to back it through Hasbro Pulse, we should get around 3,000 backers just... roughly where we are right now,
which is worrying.
Yeah. So, so between EB Games, Takaratomi Mall, fan channels like BBTS and TF Source, and
isn't there a Chinese channel for this as well?
I don't know. Maybe Hasbro.
I heard Asia. One report that Hasbro's Taobao storefront was somehow participating, but I don't Taobao, so I have not been able to investigate and verify that for myself.
I believe Diecast verified that for us already.
Yeah, I think I put that on Twitter a couple days ago that I did notice it was on their Taobao.
But we have to get
/ Tmall station.
We'll have to get 5,000 out of that within 2.5 weeks.
So with all those combined,
Captain Planet.
It's not impossible.
Well, not impossible. The thing is, I tweeted about this a couple nights ago about how it wasn't looking likely. And I'm not saying that's what started it. I'm just saying I probably, you know, started getting the itch first to share it out. And everybody started tweeting and posting news stories about how this isn't likely going to, it doesn't look like it's going to get funded. Like Kotaku posted an article. Everybody's sort of down on it now. You know, it's possible. Diecast and I made a bet. If it gets backed, Diecast is getting a Turtler from Transformers Generation Selects painted as Unicron. If it doesn't get backed, he's getting Unicron tattoo, and he's got to put the final total on it. Otherwise, he's going to get a Unicron tattoo anyway, so you got to put the total on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah. Do you want to tell us about the new information, though, that Hasbro shared, Diecast, this week?
Oh, the new information is Unicron Robot Mode video, biggest Transformer ever, which...
Did you watch it? I didn't.
We knew. I watched it a couple times, and...
Of course.
I have to say, I don't think the video did it any justice, because they did talk about the eyes moving, and I watched it like six times.
Kind of can't see anything, can't you?
Barely see anything.
The eyes to be removable.
So I'm like, if they don't light up, what are the point of the eyes moving? I want this project to be funded. I want to get Unicron, but I'm just a little bit, the choice of the eyes moving behind those full glass green translucent plastic is really strange to me. Maybe when you have the faceplate with the broken eyes, maybe it'll be more apparent that when you move.
Be. Yeah, that could make sense.
There's also like the lighting for how that video was shot may have been making the eyes look more opaque than they actually are. Like in person,
yeah,
the effect might be more visible. Or it's a thing too of like, yes, on this prototype, it's hard to see that, but their plan for the production version would have those be a more transparent material, a more transparent type of plastic, where again, you'll be able to see through that more easily.
So real quick, in the chat, Rodimus Supreme, and he's not the only one, Don asked this a lot. I see people ask us all the time. With all the money Hasbro has sunk into this, are they, quote, dumb enough to not do this? Yes! It's not about being dumb. You know, there's P&Ls assigned to things, and
These are prototypes. Final molds aren't done yet. They haven't sunk that cost into
it's
this.
It's not that much money in the grand scheme of things.
There are a lot of unproduced prototypes out there in Transformers history. Several of Unicron.
Yes, they showed them at HasCon.
Yes, they haven't, in the grand scheme of things, they have not put that much money into this. And, you know, they're not going to fudge the numbers by like 25% or something. They're not going to, you know, it's like the difference between making $1,000 and making $5. If you have to spend, you know, $995 to make $1,000, you made $5.
Like we've said before, Hasbro is fully capable of financing Unicron's manufacture by themselves if they wanted to. What they need to have, though, is a guaranteed audience, a guaranteed consumer base for it to make sure that they're not sitting on expensive inventory.
And Go ahead, Matt. I didn't understand what you said because you're talking over Chris. What did you say?
Oh, just they need to make sure they have a return on their investment. Like, yes. That's just a corporate
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, but beyond, you know, even that, I can see this being like, you know, the way a lot of toy stuff goes in the future. I mean, was it Aaron Archer who said that he sees, you know, plastic, you know, injection molding not being sustainable for the future? Like, ideas of like bespoke toys that are made like, you know, in batches. Like this with, you know, a higher margin, really seems like the way that things could potentially go. So yeah, absolutely. Hasbro can take a loss on this. They can write it off on their taxes. There's lots of ways they can deal with it where, you know, it's better to do that than put, you know, way more money into it and, you know, get a small yield back. So.
Plus, I mean, materially, like, it would probably be a little bit staggering to us as individuals, but like whatever money Hasbro has put into building Hasbro and Takara have put into building these prototypes is a drop in the bucket comparatively.
Like, that's $75,000. That's nothing to Hasbro. $100,000.
Yeah, I mean, like for them, it's probably more of a problem the labor hours that have been sunk into the development and design to get to the point they're at than the actual material of constructing prototypes.
Like,
but it's disposable.
I ran a project once that had potential cost savings of $250 million. You know,
congratulations.
Yeah, it's a bigger company than Hasbro. But, you know, that's the kind of money that we're talking about. You know, Hasbro doesn't care. Not that they don't care about $100,000. They don't care about, you know, the man hours that go into it. But it's not the cost that's gone into this is a drop in the bucket. It really is.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
I mean, OK, so, you know, with something I wrote this week, I got a little bit of insight into what it actually costs Hasbro to make these things, you know, relative to what is actually charged. And granted that the formula for that is kind of drastically out of date on the information we got, but to make, you know, 8,000 of these, you know, just assuming that the numbers are hold true now, you know, that would probably cost them about $3.5 million. So, you know, a couple of hundred thousand into development compared to what they could stand to lose if the orders are not there is really not that much.
But the cool thing is, not the cool thing, the thing to note is, like, people asking this question, the people at Hasbro are probably asking the same question because they want it to happen.
Yeah.
They're like, God, can we do this? You know, it's companies lose money not because of just bad execution, but because there's, like, it's called the sunk cost fallacy. Well, I've put this much money or this much effort into something, I might as well see it through. Well, you know, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. See what your ROI is and what your potential loss is, and then make a decision. But companies all the time want to go ahead and, you know, put the time, cost, and energy into things when, you know, it's a losing proposition. I'm not saying Hasbro's like that. I honestly think they're probably not, considering all those prototypes and things that we see and hear about. But yeah,
I would not feel confident in saying that personal feelings of the people at Hasbro never come into the equation on what does and doesn't get made.
That's how we got Knights of Unicron.
I mean, that's how all companies work, really. But, you know, they do take, as Crunson said, a calculated risk. Yes, they do. But human emotion comes into it too.
When looking at a question like this, the question we started with here, a good rule of thumb to remember in Transformers particularly is that it's not, the decision to make something or not is not irreversible until they start cutting the molds, because that's where the biggest expense is. The biggest single expense in producing a Transformer is in getting the steel molds cut. Once they cross that bridge, they pretty much have to follow through, if at all possible, and get that product out to make their money back. We're not at that point with Unicron yet. So, yeah, if this doesn't go through, they've sunk some money into this, not a huge amount comparatively, but yeah, they can totally just cut their losses and put this in the archives.
Write it off on their taxes as research and development. And
here's to get back to the video, because I still have a couple thoughts on it. It didn't wow me. It didn't even make me more excited than I already was about Unicron, and that's where I think the video kind of failed. It didn't really have anything extra in it to make us excited, other than, you know, John Warden saying, and there's more surprises to come. Well, Hasbro, we need those more surprises.
Yes.
Now. We need them now. When the barge was funded, there was a huge jump in numbers after people knew that it was actually funded and going to get made, because there were, and I don't understand it myself, but a lot of people will say, why am I going to back it if it's not going to get made? And they won't back it. But once it hits that magic number, the, you know, for the barge, it was 5,000. Once it hit that 5,000 number and people knew it was going to get made, then a lot more orders came in, from what I understand from the barge, because I've asked people who watched that closely. So we need the extras now. That way we can get more orders and hopefully get to that 8,000 and get those people who won't pre-order it or, you know, back it till they know it's actually going to get funded.
You know, honestly, I think part of the reason is that Hasbro Pulse, HasLab, is not a trusted platform for this. Like with Kickstarter, and there's like people are addicted to Kickstarter backing stuff, but it's predictable in how you say, I'm going to back this, and if it doesn't get funded, you don't get charged. Like, I have no idea if I have a hold or whatever on my credit card. I haven't looked at it. But a lot of people aren't in the position where they're going to, you know, potentially put something out there and then, you know, get a hold of like $600 or $700 or whatever it is, you know, on their card until magically they learn that, you know, it's going to be funded or not. I have no idea, but I'm certain that probably comes into play.
It's got to. And also, I mean, just outside of our circles, who even knew Hasbro Pulse existed before the publicity push for this?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll get funded. You know, it'll cost me, you know, the cost of Turtler or Snaptrap or whatever, and the cost to get it, you know, painted. Oh, yeah.
The chat was asking about the Turtler naming. So it's not like a copyright laws thing or anything. Turtler was the name of the character in Master Force, which was not the same character as Snaptrap. And because it's a Takara Tomy initiated thing, Hasbro Pulse is presenting it as the Japanese version of the character. Yeah. So that's the only reason that it's Turtler, and probably why we're fairly consistently calling it Turtler when we talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cool. Okay. So I guess let's go ahead and jump to the news. This it's kind of funny how this popped up last week, and I was half asleep when I started seeing it on Twitter, and it didn't even register. We got photos of the semi unfortunate Generation Siege, or pardon me, yeah, War for Cybertron Siege, a hotshot.
Is it semi unfortunate?
I mean, that's a really good toy.
Yeah, his shoulders don't hurt.
It just doesn't look, like, which is, I guess this is Cybertron Hot or Energon.
Cybertron Defense, technically.
Yeah. I don't know. In my mind, Hotshot is either
yellow,
bright yellow or red. So
red?
I was at the Energon Rodimus or Hot Rodimus, whatever the repaint was.
Oh, Exilion.
Exilion, yeah.
In Cybertron, yeah.
So but yeah. I don't know. It's not my preferred version of Hotshot, so it just, I'm certain it'll be a great toy, but it just doesn't register for me.
I like the colors on that mold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks nice. It looks nice as something else.
And you know it's official because it's got battle damage on it.
Yeah. So.
So we're guessing this is going to be a Generation Selects release, probably paired in a release wave with that Nightbird we saw a week or two ago from Chromia.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'll buy it, but.
Yeah.
It's
good mold.
I'm not
nice colors.
I'm not like super excited or jazzed about it. It's just one of those that I'll just buy, you know, dutifully. Because that's what I do.
I forget who it was that said they did not recognize the gun in the right hand as being, you know, pretty clearly modeled after Cybertron Defense Hotshot's shoulder guns. But yeah, now that it's in those colors, you can see it.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. So I think what I originally had is the biggest item of the week. There's no, you know, no denying I love these like Happy Meal, Burger King Kids Meal style toys. And in Japan, McDonald's Japan, we'll have these like water squirting transformers.
Well, there's one transformer. Well,
yeah. Oh, that's the, what is the rest? Oh, is that a Gundam?
No, that's a Shinkelion. It's a train robot line they do.
So yeah. There's Optimus and then there's an Autobot symbol.
Yeah. But, the Autobot symbol is a target.
Oh, it comes with the Optimus. Okay. So yeah. It squirts water.
Although it's midsection, which is not at all suggestive.
He takes a leak.
There's a ratchet too, but it doesn't squirt. It looks like it shoots.
Let's go back and look.
I'm wondering if that's supposed to be Ratchet or if that's supposed to be some representative of some other Takara.
I think that's a Tamika.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was thinking.
The vehicles. Yeah,
that's, I was gonna say it's Ratchet and then there's a Mixmaster.
So this is just basically a Happy Meal system of various Takara properties. So there's Shinkelion, which is their train robot line. Their Tamika is just their diecast vehicle line, which is not necessarily, you know, trains or cars particularly. It's just, you know, any of that kind of stuff. There's also Rescue Force something, which has the big mecha that have the cars that plug in the front, which you see sometimes on Twitter from Japanese bloggers we all follow, which look like really cool toys, but they're also really expensive.
Yeah.
But basically, it's just representing a cross section of those things and Transformers.
Yeah. I'm super excited about that Optimus. So, yeah, excited about it.
Do you want me to get you one if I see it on Taobao?
I may have a source. Friend of the show has volunteered to potentially try to snag me one. So,
nice.
Yeah. So, okay. So, this was an interesting article. So, Rob posted this. TF Wiki. Basically posted their price list from Hasbro Toy Fair from 1987. And it had, of course, the price for Fortress Maximus as well as the price that retailers paid, the wholesale price. And it was, what, $70 wholesale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob, tell us about it.
Okay, yeah. So we get a good look at what it actually cost retailers to get Transformers in 1987. And about a God, I'm trying to work backwards in my head, and it's, you know, it's 30% less than the final cost. I'm sure that I could work out the formula for what the actual markup is from 70 to 100, but it is not coming right now.
I don't know good at that either.
Yeah, I should have run that number when I did the article, but I didn't. We get a sense of the amount of markup, and the number's fairly consistent because
about 40%.
Thank you. And yeah, because I found an ad on Twitter from Christmas of 87 for the Computron box set, and that was running about 28 at Toys R Us, and the collective price of the components on this list would be about 20. So yeah, the amounts hold. So yeah, that's also true. But as John said, it's a good chance nobody actually paid these prices, because, you know, the thing about wholesale is that, you know, the more you buy, there tends to be a discount. But
we need to have like somebody on the show who can read John's, you know, chat comments on the show.
Well, I think that'd be the return of the computer, ideally.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good idea.
But yeah, this is just a, you know, this is a look at, you know, a side of the Transformers as a business that we don't usually get a look at, and certainly not, not 30 some years later. But this is what I was basing my statement on earlier when I said that probably, you know, working backwards, that if they were to make those 8,000 Unicrons without buyers, it would cost them about $3.5 million, just based on the, you know, formula we're seeing here. That's still obviously off, because they are not charging retailers exactly what it costs them to make, because then they don't make anything.
Occasionally, but when we get to see images from like major retailer inventory data systems, sometimes the cost per unit column will be visible in those too, so you can still sort of get an idea for, you know, modern stuff, what we're looking at, the differences. But, you know, that stuff doesn't usually hang around long, because it's like proprietary and confidential information, and it usually gets taken down pretty fast.
Yeah.
So this is the TF Wiki also later posted a look at the full order sheet, which has non-Transformers things on there as well, like I believe Visionaries, among other things.
Ooh, Don would love to know that.
Yeah, I thought he might.
Cool. Okay. This last news item was weird. This showed up on Twitter. Rob, you posted this article. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. Okay. I can probably do this one a little bit less wonky. Anyway, a Twitter user by the name of Cadet Foster posted an image from a Walmart of a stack of MP30 ratchets sitting in a... Yeah, four of them sitting in a Walmart.
Five.
Five?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, five. Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, the word going around, we have nothing concrete, but it said that these turned up at a Walmart in New Jersey. So we're also not sure, because Walmarts around me are not always good about putting things, you know, where the tags actually go. Right. So it's unknown if that I can't make out whether or not that tag actually goes to that ratchet, but
I zoomed the picture in, and it does not specify at all what it's like. There's no text on there saying what that slot is for. That
makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So we're assuming that this is a fluke, that just somehow something went
sideways.
Yeah, sideways to
ratchet.
Should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque, and here we are with getting a stack of freaking ratchets.
Like, all those boxes are pretty beat up too.
Yeah.
Those boxes. That's still a good price, regardless of how beat up those boxes are.
Stuff can get lost in supply chain. It happens. It's amazing that it made it all the way to the shelf. But I have experience where the store branded product of my primary competitor somehow would make it to our stores and get received. Sometimes probably, I think, make it to the shelf. So, but it was, in that case, it was the same item in the same vendor, This looks like it's something like from the, does Walmart Marketplace, do they do their own version of like Amazon Marketplace where they'll ship as Walmart?
I don't know. I know you can buy stuff on Walmart's website that's not from.
Well, here's a better question. Like for those marketplace things, does Walmart offer the service of, you can just return this to the store if there's a problem with it and we'll handle it from there? Or do you send it back to the vendor that you got it from directly?
I think you have to send it back to the vendor you got it from directly.
Who knows? I don't know. But it's weird. But if this is it definitely the Takara version, or could it be the Hasbro Asia version?
No, it's definitely Takara.
I mean, it's the same thing, really. Like,
so it's possible that it actually came from Hasbro and it just got bounced around. I still don't know how it wound up on the shelf. Actually, I do know how it wound up on the shelf.
Okay, so we've seen in the past Takara Masterpiece stuff will ship in Hasbro shipping cartons that look like any other regular product. We've seen them at conventions where Hasbro had their booth and they were selling stuff directly. They received the stuff, even if it's like masterpieces. We've seen it from other vendors that get the stuff to sell at conventions. It's not inconceivable that there was a case of Hasbro Transformers. Now, how it got to that particular distribution center,
it's beat up and we're looking at, millions of boxes. So the stuff is going to get, shipped wrong. So,
It's not like somebody, mistakenly put a case covered in Japanese writing. Like, no, it looks like any other Hasbro Transformers shipping carton. So it's not that hard of a mistake to make. It would just need to get far enough along to have someone make that error.
I really wish someone would have tried to buy one of these, because I guarantee if it is a fluke, it wouldn't even have rung up at the register.
Oh, no, it wouldn't have. I read somebody say that Japanese UPCs have a different number of digits than the American ones. So not only would it not be in Walmart's system, their system probably could not accept it to even be entered manually.
There's probably not a G10 for it or anything like that. And it's almost certainly couldn't get rung up.
Yeah, so one of two things is going to happen. Someone's going to try to buy one of those, or buy all five of those potentially. Managers will get called when the cashier can't figure out how to do it and the whole thing. And at that point, either they will get flagged and boxed back up and sent back to the distribution center to hopefully go back to wherever they belong, or they'll just get put back out on the shelf to, rinse and repeat the same process for 6 or 7 months.
I wish I knew where in New Jersey, because I'm close enough I could go buy one.
Who cares? It's Ratchet. It's been out for 3 years?
I know, and I have a Ratchet already, but I just think it would be neat to try and buy it.
Yeah. Hey, you know where you can buy it?
East Brunswick, New Jersey.
Ooh, that's about an hour from me.
Go. Do it. I bet you can get it from Amazon, though. tfradio.net/Amazon.
That'd make an interesting video for your YouTube channel. Knockoff.
Yeah. Actually, Amazon probably does sell the knockoff. I'm not going to encourage that, but they are cheap. Yeah. So, Amazon, thank you for... I was listening. There's a podcast. I think it's Jim Ross's podcast, the wrestling guy. For years, he kept saying, Amazon's been here with us since the beginning. Amazon doesn't know we exist. They don't really know we exist. That's why I use Amazon to monetize their stuff, because they don't care. I can say, buy toilet paper from Amazon, and Amazon's not going to get on our case because they don't care.
As long as you're following the affiliate program policies and guidelines, they don't care what else you do.
Yes. So tfradio.net/Amazon, it is, it's a way to ensure the journalistic integrity of the show. tfradio.net/Amazon. We would appreciate it.
Yeah, those Siege Battle Packs are coming out. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, they should be in stock, or they could potentially be sold out. But I'm sure Brian has short links for Phantom Strike Squadron and Alpha Strike Counterforce to get your Skywarp and your G2 Sideswipe on.
Yep. Hey Rob, why don't you tell us what's going on T-Formers this week?
Okay, we've got some new images of the upcoming new Siege stuff: Spinister, Crosshairs, Barricade, Astrotrain. Also, the Amazon exclusive 3-pack with Impactor and Mirage and the Power Dasher.
Did you notice they couldn't decide which impactor they were actually featuring?
No, now that you mention that.
Yeah, no, so this appears to be meant to be stock photos for that three pack, but they also have the single pack impactor in there in some of the sequence too. They seem to have gotten a little mixed up because there's not enough of either one to be like a complete set for both toys.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That is weird. Yeah,
both heads are shown. One has an Autobot symbol. One has a Decepticon symbol.
One's missing the hazard stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to admit, I think I like the IDW Impactor head more, but that is just an impressively Marvel UK head sculpt on the other one.
I mean, you know, if you play your cards right, you could, you know, see yourself get both eventually.
Yeah. Probably not anytime soon, but I do want to get at least one of it, regardless of which way I jump on that.
I will have both just because it's Impactor and I'm insane.
Same.
Fair enough. We've also got some package photos of the upcoming Walmart 35th anniversary assortment with the cel-shaded Optimus Prime and Megatron. Sound Blaster, who I wish was cel-shaded, and
Blue Streak. Or at least clean.
Either one. Yeah. Anything that is not that would be nice.
Or a different pattern of battle damage than Soundwave, because it is just the same paint masks or tampographs or whatever.
Of course.
We're going to have seven of the same Seeker mold with the same tampograph.
I already have six of them.
So do I.
I really do like the look of the Optimus Prime, especially though. I'm glad I decided to hold out for this version of it. I hadn't really grasped until I saw this photo that the gray parts, the waist and the thighs were going to be white here, like they would have been the animation, and that is a detail that I'm really happy with.
Yeah, I mean, like, of anything, that's what's starting to sell me on this. Because, like, it looks like, I know, you know, chrome or silver is the toy side of things, and I'm usually an advocate for that because in a lot of interpretations, going toy-based makes it more interesting, but, like, this just looks a certain way, and it's kind of pushing a button, and, like, I'm not going to pre-order this, but if these show up on shelves in stores and I see one, I damn well may impulse purchase one.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and get it if I can, because I like I said, I held off on the original version since we'd found out that this was coming. So, lastly, we have got a look at Generation Select's Seed Smokescreen, which doesn't look bad.
Well, I mean, for the most part, it doesn't, but there is one important detail on here that's kind of a problem. So, do you remember when we first saw Siege Smokescreen? I think Dengeki Hobby was the first one out with the promotional stock photos. And for the number, they had stylized markings that looked like 3 and 8.
Yeah.
For the racing number. Well, on these stock photos, that's not there anymore, and they've just replaced that with awkward blocks with the numbers from the Cybertronics font they use for everything else, which don't look like numbers at all unless you already know the context of the font they're using. And that just seems like a bad choice to me.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. It's not... I would have preferred the other, because it just looks what it looks like is it looks like nonsensical Japanese in a very awkward font on his shoulders, and that's just weird.
Yeah, it doesn't work for what they're doing. They needed to stick with that original, because like that at least evokes the idea. It doesn't look exactly like regular numbering, so it's not like it would be out of place having earthen digits on an alien alt mode. But like this just does not convey the idea the same way. I'm not a fan of this. I've even been thinking of starting to bug Toy Hacks to see if we can get them to include the original design or something inspired by it on a sticker sheet for this. Although they probably are just going to run a set of normal numbers for it either way.
Well, maybe they could do both, because that would be nice.
They have been known to include options on their stickers in the past.
I mean, honestly, I'd be fine just putting regular numbers on there. I have to cover that up somehow or another. Like with Red Alert, I was wanting to cover up the Cybertronics on there where he's got the FD markings on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
But like having that in person, I don't really care that much anymore. Like, that does not stand out to me the same way. I know, though, that those blocks on Smokescreen are supposed to be numbers, and those don't look like numbers. I can't make that leap in my head to just like live with it. I can't live with it.
I understand. And I think that, yeah, that is it, I believe.
Yeah, I was really hoping Brian would be back by now.
Oh, is Brian gone?
Yes, we were supposed to be covering for him, which is why I was kind of belaboring every single one of these bullet points.
Oh,
yes.
I did not see that text come up. So, oh, this is going to make for some great podcasting.
Yes.
Oh,
hey.
He'll probably edit around this.
So real quick, Diecast had wanted me to give my two cents on Unicron.
Yes,
please. So one small thing is I do believe, and this is purely from a marketing standpoint and presuming that they can slosh around some budgets and GL codes and things like that, that they, if they aren't already padding the numbers, that they would be willing to appoint pad the numbers. But I don't think we're going to get anywhere near the padding threshold for them. They're not going to save it if it's less than, you know, whatever. 6,000, 7,000, whatever. But I do believe if not already, at the end, there would be some funny business to get it over the line within reason. But we're not going to get there. Anyway, the other thing too, at least I don't think we're going to get there. We might get there. The other thing is the longer it goes, this is like a hot sports opinion. The longer it goes and the longer I look at it, the toy itself, the more quibbles I have with it. And I wonder if that's one thing that super hardcore collectors over time, if you give them too much time to think about something and they have not put their credit card number down, they can talk themselves out of $600 pretty easy. So like I've started to kind of look at it and it's like, well, you know, the yellow's not perfect. It's not quite orangey for me, or yeah, there's things about him where it's like, and then, but I've already like committed to it. So I'm kind of locked in. But if there's people on the fence, every day they look at it, they could find something to talk themselves out of it. So, and then I agree with you guys, the marketing campaign for it just kind of overall has been very weird and kind of disjointed. And being a company that is based both in Japan and America, two companies that, you know, partner together, when they try to like market the same thing at the same time, you start to see where that can go awry, because they're doing two different things and it's not really gelling. And I don't know, it's not quite working for me. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like, if on day one you weren't like, yes, please God, take my money, they have not done a good job of convincing you. Yes, as a fan, you either came in day one like hot for this or not. And on day whatever this is, you know, 40 something or 50 something, chances are you are not more excited because of things they've done. If you're one of the few that have actually gotten more excited after, you know, several weeks, you've done that for yourself. Something's happened where you've convinced yourself, but they haven't done a good job of bringing people over to the other side.
I agree. That's what I meant with that video, is it didn't do anything to make anyone more excited about it.
Yeah, I don't know what you can do for a $600 purchase, but they haven't done it.
And I really think it is foolish of them to be holding back at this point in terms of features or anything else, because I don't think when you're asking for I don't think when you're asking for that much money, you know, leaving surprises until the last minute is possibly a good idea. I think more people are going to want to know exactly what they're getting rather than, you know, Loot Crate was just as I saw in the news for, you know, not doing very well. So maybe, you know, maybe people want to know exactly what they're going to get for their money rather than get a surprise, especially again at this level.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's a good point, too, because, like, QC on Transformers, I mean, you know, it had its low point. We bounced back a little bit, but it's still kind of a crapshoot on your average, you know, $20 and $30 toy. Mm-hmm. I mean, making something that's 19 pounds and 27 inches tall and composed of, you know, hundreds of parts that have to be assembled by hand and what have you, like, there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong there, and a lot of stuff that can go wrong without anybody's actual intervention, something that could be systemically wrong with the whole thing, and they're not going to know until it's produced. And even then, if they're like three or four samples that they pull randomly don't show those problems, they're not going to know until people start reporting it, and by then, well, can't really do anything about it now.
The colors on it we've seen so far, just samples, but is leaning much more toward yellow than the orange that everyone was expecting.
Yeah.
And like people on Twitter have started to notice that. And even some people have, you know, perhaps posted Photoshops of what they expect at that John D on Twitter.
But, yeah. Well, you know, but you know, somebody called that out on Twitter in my feed, and I guess they're right. They have to be right. So they're pulling this yellow and blue from one of the prototypes, presumably, you know, way back when, I guess. But you know, they also had this ridiculous line. No offense, Hasbro Takara, but there was this ridiculous blurb in some of the marketing where, you know, they make it a point of telling you, like, we've poured over all the control art and all the iterations of Unicron through the centuries, and we've taken the best of the best, and where we landed was exactly G1 movie Unicron. And then they do this color scheme. Like you've gone to all, you've done all this like careful research, painstaking research, and we happened to land on 1986 G1 movie Unicron in slightly off colors.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh my God, your yours looks so much better, John.
I'm a jerk. I'm a jerk.
You're not. You're not, because we talked about it on the There Goes My Money, the episode where we talked just about Unicron. I mean, like I said, I love Unicron. I want this to be made, but there are things that I can ignore, and that's
improvements to be made
about. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And like I said a few minutes ago, like, I don't know what you can do to make people happy about paying $600. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what.
Oh, I'm never going to be happy about it.
So, I mean, you know, offer them a nice steak dinner, you know, basket of cookies, maybe a nice movie.
That orange would make me a lot more happier.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things, like, you know, a hot opinion could be one reason Unicron's not performing well is because he's really not that great. Like, if you really, like, you know, study him and think about it, I don't know. Maybe he's not the $600 Unicron we wanted exactly. And if he's not exactly that, people are not going to pay.
I have a controversial opinion.
We were never going to get the $600 Unicron we wanted.
What was the $600 Unicron we wanted?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm never going to agree.
I have a controversial opinion, which can probably wrap this up. Do Transformers even need to be this big?
No, I don't think
they do.
No one asked for this.
Yes, I did.
Well, that guy asked for this, but nobody else.
I
did.
I'll tell you, I asked for this, but there's still things that, like that color.
Yeah,
tell us these special features. Tell us.
Well, they haven't made up what most of them are yet. No, I'm just saying this could be like half the size, half the cost, and it'd be more successful and probably more fun when it finally exists.
Yeah.
It does not need to be 27 inches tall and weigh 19 pounds. And I think Brian wants to wrap the show now. So, Brian?
Hey, I had to step away. Sorry.
Brian.
Sorry. Hey, so where do we leave off?
Well, that was all show content.
Great. Sorry.
Yeah, we were covering for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been running a fever all evening, and the stomach virus has been going around my family. Now I have it.
Oh.
Hooray.
Parenthood. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So, hey.
Ryan has a sickness? No way.
I know. Hey, I've been great for the last 6 or 7 months. Yeah, you've been
good for a while there.
Yeah. So, hey, you can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Again, if you want to participate in the chat, subscribe on YouTube at Radio Free Cybertron. I'm personally on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Rob Springer is at zonebase.org and on Twitter at Robo Rob Springer. Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
You can follow me on Twitter at playwithphotos or go to instagram.com/playwithphotography to see the toy pictures I take and post to social media as previews for galleries and things, which will end up on playwithphotography.com, which is where I post full galleries and other assorted guides, articles, and miscellany about toys and toy photography, that kind of thing. Most recently, I have up a short gallery of the Sideswipe upgrade kit from Non-F Productions. I had to go through two of them because there was a production error the first time, but that got sorted out beautifully, and I really like this set. So it's definitely worth the $6 or $7 that it cost me, and I'd recommend going and checking out the gallery and maybe getting one for yourself, because when you get one, you can even kit out your Red Alert with the leftover parts you have.
Oh yeah, cool.
If you like the work I do on Play with Photography, or honestly anything else I do, you can show your support or contribute for as little as $2 per month at patreon.com/playwithphotos. If you pledge at the $5 a month level, which is the insert name tier, you'll get week early access to most galleries that go up. Right now I'm working on the Rainmakers. It's kind of slow going though, because lights and colors and things of that nature are just hard. And finally, you can follow me personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. I've posted funny screenshots with actual captions from some Deep Space Nine today, so I'm, I guess, getting kind of back into that. So for funny Star Trek observations and things like that, that's something you can usually count on me for, except when I don't. And I think that's about it.
Cool. Rob.
I'm on Twitter at FigureViewers and FlailThroughs. FlailThroughs is also the name of my YouTube channel, where I'm covering Gundam Battle Operation 2, the free-to-play Gundam game that is about to hit the U.S. in the next couple of weeks or months. We still have a incredibly specific release date of 2019. But if you want to see what the game is like, because it's been running in Japan for about a year, head over there. If you like what I do there, I am also on Patreon, patreon.com/flailthroughs. And if you want to request specific mobile suits and or color schemes, a couple of bucks a month will get you that. And let's see, my Amazon wish list is tfradio.net/claylist. And keep an eye on the T-Formers TV channel on YouTube for that Siege unboxing video sometime soon.
Cool. John.
That John D everywhere.
I love it. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2, and I just retweeted John's Photoshop of Unicron, which is awesome. That's actually the Unicron I want, what John did. That's amazing. The colors are perfect, which is the main thing that I see wrong with that Unicron right now. You can also like me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, or like my page on Facebook. And then you can see all my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews.
Awesome. And that's also on our Roku channel. Again, tfradio.net/Roku, or just go to your Roku and look for Radio Free Cybertron. Hey, I'm sick. We'll see you next week. Bye.
See you, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.